Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Agerberg gives the ball, Belton up the middle, 10, and into the secondary to the 30, 40. Belton to the 50, near side 40. He's to the 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Bill Belton. 92 yards for a touchdown to tie a Penn State record for the longest touchdown run ever. 22-yard attempt for the lead, put down by Gula. The kick is up, and the kick by Sam Fickett is good, and the Nittany Lions have their first lead of the afternoon. Trips far side, Booth near side, Coleman to the left of Diamont, takes the snap, back to pass, delivers down the middle, intercepts him, Naeem Wortman, 35, Wortman to the far side, 30, Wortman, 25, Wortman taken down inside the 25 at the 24-yard line, Naeem Wortman with his first career interception, and the Nittany Lions with 2:26 to go, get the ball at the Indiana 24. Sam Fickett, 28-yard attempt, slight angle to his left. Waits, snap down. Kick is up by Ficken. The kick by Sam Ficken is good, and the Nittany Lions have a 13-7 lead with 55 seconds to go in the game.
Essentially, the defense pitched a shutout. The only score by Indiana was an interception for a touchdown. Indiana never got to the red zone. Not one time did Indiana get to the red zone. They took the nation's leading rusher, and for the first time in 11 games, held him to under 100 yards. He gained 71 yards. A brilliant defensive performance by Penn State, which right now is number one in the nation against the run, number three overall in total defense. We'll talk about that in a few moments. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Very pleased to be joined by someone I consider to be a friend, and that's Dave Paulson, the head basketball coach at Bucknell. Dave, welcome back to the show. It's great to hear you again.
Oh, great to be back on, Steve.
In your preseason, you want to see some leaders emerge that you feel can be the guys that you as a coach can lean on a bit. Who would be a couple guys off the top that are filling that role for you as you go into Marist on Friday night?
Well, I think Stephen Casper, our senior point guard, you know, has really shown a lot of great leadership in the preseason. You know, he's not necessarily going to be a guy who scores a ton, although he's done it on occasion. But he's really got a focus level that I like, and really defending very well and doing a great job of leading. You know, and I think as a senior, as a guy who's played the most minutes, you know, we may not need him to lead us in scoring, but we need to make sure that he gets us on the right page. And he's done that so far in the preseason.
In fact, a point guard, it's not – there's certain things that people look at and go, look how many points, look how many assists. To me, I like to look at a guy and I want to see what kind of feel they have for the position. Does he have that feel a coach likes?
Well, he does, you know, and early in his career, he had the feel, but, you know, he's a little bit like the Lord. He giveth and he taketh away. You know, he'd make a great play, and then you make another great play and turn it into 2 points for the other team. And, you know, like a great football quarterback who learns when to just throw the ball out of bounds, you know, he's learned that. So he's still making those great plays, but far fewer of the high-risk plays. And what I really like is he's really buying into being a good defender now. He's gotten stronger, he's gotten more physical, and he's a guy who I think could be our second best perimeter defender. And that wasn't necessarily the case earlier in his career.
What can Chris Haas do for you this year?
Well, Chris can really, really score the ball. And as the year progressed last year, he really started to get confidence. We took a foreign trip over to Europe, and he averaged 23, 24 points a game. Admittedly, we weren't playing the San Antonio Spurs over there, but you know, he played really, really well. And what he can do is he's got this terrific three-point shooter, but he's got a very good mid-range game, and he can get to the rim. You know, he's much more athletic than people would think. And you've got the ability to score in a variety of ways.
How much did you learn about your team when you took them to Europe?
Well, you know, we learned a lot. You know, it was a great opportunity. We do it a little differently than some teams. We go in May, and we bring our graduating seniors. We just sometimes I think when you go in August, it makes the season really, really, really long. So we didn't get to bring our freshmen, and so that was unfortunate. But a lot of the other guys really got to play a lot and play in different roles and step up. And guys like Casper and Chris Haas and Ryan Frazier was one of our tri-captains who, you know, is as good a defensive player as I've coached. You know, so they developed their bond and their chemistry and the leadership and the culture of this year's team.
Games are made in the off season. Give me a couple guys who came into your camp, have worked for the last few weeks, that in the off season you know worked on their game and it's made a difference to you.
You know, I think a lot of our guys. I've been very pleased with the level of you know work that they put in off season. But I would say a couple of guys that looked really good in our preseason. In addition to Casper, Dom Hoffman is a junior power forward, very skilled, but he's in better shape than he's been. And, you know, he's a very good jump shooter, pick and pop guy. He's a good high post player. But at times the pace of the game, the physicality of the game made it hard for him to get to his skill. And he's in much better shape. He's played very, very well in our close scrimmages and our inner squad scrimmages. John Azanero is a sophomore guard, and you know he showed flashes of being really, really good last year, but some inconsistency, and he's playing at a more consistent level. And then I've been pleased with the work and the competitiveness of our freshmen, and I think we're going to see some freshmen, get some pretty quality minutes from the start.
I was going to ask you about the freshman group. That was actually going to be my next question. You know, you recruit them with the hopes that, hey, look, if they can contribute right away, great. Some develop at different rates. What do you like the development level of the rate of your freshman class right now?
Oh, I like the development level. I really like their character, Steve. You know, they're hardworking guys. You know, they have the right blend of being humble and trying to fit in to the culture and being respectful of the upperclassmen who kind of know the ropes and know what's to be expected. And yet at the same time, they're not so accommodating that they're not trying to go, you know, beat that guy when we're playing a live competition. So they've had that good blend. And, you know, I really like collectively, I like the group. And I think they're going to really do some really good things.
Is it too early to ask you what the personality of the team is, or is that one of those questions like, hey, Steve, you know, give me till about the 1st of January to evaluate it?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think it's a little bit too early because, you know, we've had, you know, again, the one thing we have more depth on our team than any team I've coached since I've been at Bucknell. We have more competitiveness up and down the roster than any team I've had. That's all real positive. But by the same token, we don't necessarily have that one guy that you know, we're going to get 18 points a game from him. You know, we don't have anyone who was named to the first team All-League in the preseason, which is a meaningless poll, but indicative of, you know, we're not really certain where our points are going to come from every single night. So I love the competitiveness and the depth. I was just looking for more consistency in a night-in, night-out basis from our guys. And sometimes that's very hard to expect when you're talking about freshmen and you're talking about sophomores. There's going to be three sophomores in the rotation and at least two, if not three, freshmen in the rotation. So, you know, it's hard for those guys to get to their consistency level.
When you have more depth in the program, that then changes how practice goes for you. Give me the benefits of the practices that you've had in the preseason, Dave, because the competitive level is better at each position and allows you to do certain things because, you know, a guy is not beating somebody who is inferior to him completely and it just makes it look too easy.
Right. I mean, I think that's the benefit. I mean, when we go blue, is usually the group at least that day that's, you know, the top seven guys, and we go blue gray scrimmages, like there's virtually no difference, and you can switch guys back and forth, and so every single rep in practice, you know, you got to be ready to do your best, to be sharp, to be focused, to execute. And I think that's really, really going to help us in the short term, and definitely going to help us, you know, in the long term. Now, we're not as advanced. You know, a couple of years back, we had a veteran group. We had four guys that were going to average over 30 minutes a game, and we were very advanced in our defensive rotations and our offensive wrinkles. Like, we were further along in terms of what we could do. But we were heavily dependent on those top four or five guys. So, you know, we're not as far along as we were maybe a couple of years back, but the competitive level and the depth, I think, is a real positive trade-off.
Yeah, one quick story, and then I'll let you go. And the story is as follows. Penn State was going to play a game at Michigan, which, of course, you have to do here early on.
Yep.
And it was Penn State had Thon going on, so Jordan said it was closed. So Patrick decided to go over to Rec Hall and have an open practice, and the fans could go. So I'm just sitting there, and some fans were saying, look how great that guy is, that guy is. I said, hey, guys, just slow down for a second. I said, on the scout team, as soon as you could tell me which guy's Burke and which guy's Hardaway, I said, we'll talk.
Right, right. Absolutely. Yeah. What do you do when you get in the game, for sure?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Dave, thanks so much. Best of luck against Marist, home on Friday night. Looking forward to it very much. Good luck.
All right, thanks, Steve.
Dave Paulson, head basketball coach at Bucknell. Yeah, that's anything. This guy looks great. That guy looks great. I said, whoa, hold on. On the scout team, which guy's Burke and which guy's Hardaway? Okay, I see your point. You beat the daylights out of some walk-on. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855. Check us out online at purdyinsurance.com or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Jason Johnson on our Facebook page, by the way, brought to you by our good friends Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Said, Kevin always refers to the Steelers as we and then doesn't watch the games. What kind of fan is he?
It was safer for me not to watch the game after what I was getting texted on in the first couple of quarters.
Are you on some watch list that we should be aware of? What?
Well,
it's a
no,
game.
It's safer for me not to watch the game. I'm thinking for my own sanity, for the sanity of my family. I mean, if I would have watched the game and seen the pathetic appearance that game was on with the score, it would not have been pretty. I mean, I don't like losing to Rex Ryan, but let alone the Jets who have lost eight straight. I mean, that would have been painful.
Well, let me point out one quick thing about that game in all seriousness. If you play a clean game and your chances of winning in the NFL are so much greater, and the Jets, to their credit, played a clean game. They didn't turn the ball over one time. The Steelers turned it over four times in the game.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens, it changes the dynamics of the game regardless of what your record happens to be. When you're a plus four, you know, two things are happening. You're either getting takeaways to set up drives, or you're getting takeaways that kill their drive. And that's a big part of this, is the Steeler turnovers, the fact that Jets play clean. And if you play clean in the NFL or in college football or in high school, if you play a clean game when it comes to possessions, your chances of winning the game grow. And that's where they were in this particular game.
The Steelers won now, about every statistical category except turnovers. Yeah, but, two picks, two fumbles.
Penn State's going to play Temple. All right, they played East Carolina, beat them 2 weeks ago. East Carolina gained 454 yards in offense in that game. You know how many Temple had? 124. Temple had 124 yards in offense and won and beat East Carolina. So it's the way the game plays out. Another major issue has also come up that must be dealt with. The Bucknell basketball game is coming up in 2.5 weeks at Soica. My good friend, dear friend, Bob Buhner, has mentioned evidently Kevin, but not to me yet, about the possibility of going out and maybe getting a little Thanksgiving meal and whatever after the game on that Friday night. I mentioned to Kev about going and basically blew us off.
No, the invitation wasn't brought to me. I was just mentioning it to you because he had said to check with you to see if you were going to be available that night.
I'm here trying to promote team unity among the show. And obviously, you know, Bob and I are bonding in the whole thing, and Kevin has this every man for himself attitude. I think,
My guess is you guys were going to invite me, stick me with the check, and then have me sit at another table anyway. And the gig's up.
Well, what the heck happened here? It was only Buhner and I that came up with the plan. If neither one of us were going to talk. Plus, we would have talked. The difference is, like, with us, it wouldn't be as if we were sitting at a different table from you and talking behind your back. We say everything right to your face.
At the next table, right. Yeah.
You have to give us credit. We're very direct with you. We're very upfront.
Listen, I know where I stand. There's never been a debate on where I stand with you guys. Hey, I got a quick question for you as we get close to the news here with Sarah Bartlett.
The answer is no. Let's go to the next question.
You know how I feel about preseason anythings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at CBSSports.com, and they have preseason bracketology. Come on.
Do they pay you to promote the website?
No, it's just, I'm not promoting it. Listen, they would not pay me for this because I'm trashing it. Preseason bracketology? You're giving me your four number ones now?
Right. This is I always thought when I was younger, and of course, loving sports the way I do, that a 24-hour sports channel would be, for me, media heaven on earth.
The best thing on television.
Yeah, ever. Nothing but sports, and I get to see a wide variety of sports and the whole thing. And yet it's had, to me, quite the opposite effect. I love watching games. The other day, I flew back from Indiana, got back, was able to settle in, watch Michigan State, Ohio State, watch LSU, Alabama. Then I watched some of the Oregon-Utah game. Let's face it. Oregon-Utah is a game I wouldn't have watched in the 25 years ago. Now you can watch all these games wall-to-wall all day, and there's some really good games on. And the game part I love. Baseball game here, basketball game. So many college basketball games are going to be on. I love watching the games. So that part has turned out to be the way I hoped. What has not has been the constant, I have 24 hours or I have a website, so we're going to make stuff up and find it interesting. I find no interest in bracketology at this time of the year. Somebody is going to look it up and check it out. That's their prerogative. But I don't like, that's why I told you, I don't watch NFL pregame shows, NBA pregame shows, NHL pregame shows, Major League Baseball pregame. I don't watch postgame, anything. As soon as the game's over, I'm out. Maybe I'll see a postgame interview on the field. But I'm out. The talking head, and of course I'm sitting here right now, as a 10-hour-a-week talking head. But the talking head part from neutral observers doesn't light me up. I think it's a little bit different when it's local and so forth, and I can sit there and talk about, let's talk about Penn State, Indiana. You were there. What did you see? answer some questions about why did he do this. You know, for example, yesterday for the first time, I had a chance to interview Grant Haley. Right? Articulate, outstanding young man who can handles himself very well. But as somebody brought up earlier, about kickoff returns, and he's going to have that better judgment on that. That's different when you're talking about specifics. It's all this general stuff. And stuff like that, it's just a waste of space I have no interest in whatsoever. Yeah, I'll watch College Game Day, but that's it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys have served this valley for decades. Find out why so many people have entrusted their insurance needs to Purdy Insurance. You'll be a longtime customer as well once you do. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And Kevin did a vehicle exchange on Friday and is now driving
a 2015 Kia Sorento, named the one of the 10 best SUVs under $25,000. And the reason, now I know we've talked about the Sorento before, but there's a really good reason we're talking about it again. Not only is the 27 miles per gallon that's available to you a plus, and all-wheel drive also going to be very helpful in the polar vortex that's coming, but they're offering with Kia Motor Finance not 0% for 72 months, but for 75 months. So check out the 2015 all-wheel drive Sorento LX, and you can have it for $347 a month with only tax and tags down. Part of the financing deal and the sale price, it's available at Sunbury Motors Kia. You'll find them on Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
I think a good shot at selling this. I mean, first of all, it's a great vehicle. It's the awesome dealership in Sunbury Motors. Great sales staff. And also, less talk this week about your heated seat.
Not to mention a 5-year, 60,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty. And roadside assistance.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. All right, that's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. So we want to do this bonding thing when I come into town for the basketball game.
You are stuck on this.
And basically, you can't fit us in.
I have a busy life. I mean, it's a busy time of year for me.
What, Bob and I aren't busy people?
I didn't say that. I said it's busy for me. It's my mid-season break.
It's the holiday season.
So
where friends get together and appreciate one another, and obviously you've told Bob and me in no uncertain terms how much you appreciate us.
You misunderstand. I wasn't invited to this little fiesta of yours, so I wasn't going to just automatically show up. I'm not one of those guys.
I'm inviting you. You have to pay your own freight, but I'm inviting you.
There we go. All right. I knew there was a catch there somewhere.
I'm just telling you. Yeah, I mean, we're sitting there. It's like, buddies bonding, the show's been great, had a lot of fun, a few laughs along the way, the whole thing, and then you got, one prima donna that won't bond.
I unfortunately was out of range to be able to listen to you over the weekend at the Penn State game.
Let's get back to the bonding. The bonding thing for a moment.
No, I don't want to get to bonding.
Oh, see, you don't want to bond. See, you don't even want to talk about it. All right, what's your question about the game? Because obviously, bonding with Bob and me, we ought to have a contest. Which fans out there would like to bond with Bob and me? Obviously, you're out.
I didn't think it was that easy to get out of that one. My question to you, I'm listening I'm listening to the Indiana actually broadcast. It's the only broadcast I could pull in, unfortunately, where I was.
Right. No, they go with the home team broadcast.
Yeah. And
that's serious. Yeah.
Yep. And listening to that, they sounded very frustrated with the Indiana performance overall. They felt they were in. It seemed as though they felt they were in the game, but couldn't get anything done.
Well, 13-7, you're in the game. To be honest with you, Kevin, as I watched it play out, and Jack Hamm and I talked about this after the game, the only thing I was even remotely concerned about from a Penn State point of view is if Indiana broke a long one, a fluke. The only way they were going to score to me is if it was a fluke. That's the only thing I worried about. I mean, right up to the last play, like all of a sudden out of nowhere, something screwy happens and you break a long one. That's the only thing that I even remotely thought. Because there's no way I thought they were going to drive the ball downfield and score. No way. Never got to the red zone. Never got there. And you know, that's why, you know, you look at the stats for Penn State, you're like, okay, great. Yeah, the revised stats. The red zone numbers are exactly the same as last week. There were no trips there. And, you know, they can be frustrated all they want, but Coleman is a good back, not a great back. I think he's very, very good. I think he has certainly has some speed, decent amount of power, the whole thing. But Penn State's defensive front just overran them. It overran them in that game. I mean, they owned them. They had 10 tackles for losses in the game. And when you're forced to be one-dimensional, and they, you know, and let's be honest, they were, because of the quarterback situation, they were forced to be one-dimensional. Xander Diamond is, you know, down the road, maybe he'll end up being a good quarterback. That moment is not at hand yet. That moment's not at hand. Just like his father at one point was a good actor, and now he's become a really good actor, and he's on, you know, every single week. It was just
kind of funny listening to Don
they
Fisher.
They ran.
He just sounded so frustrated and even mentioned, I don't even know if he used the word frustrated, yeah, but had that sound to it.
Yeah, well, my brother said the same thing. My brother said the same thing in listening to them.
I'm not criticizing, by the way. I'm not criticizing the job. Sounded great.
I know you're not.
It was just, you could hear the frustration. It's like, how come this team is not moving the football? We've had opportunity. I didn't even think they even talked about this. His color commentator said, we've had opportunity after opportunity and just can't get it done.
No, opportunity after opportunity of what? They ran 9 plays in Penn State territory all day.
Well, I think they meant, time-wise, there was opportunities to get things done, not like turnovers or anything like that. His point was that they had an opportunity and having the football to be able to at least tie the game or have opportunities to win the game, and they just didn't do it at the end.
They ran 9 plays in Penn State territory all game. 9. I mean, I don't mean 9 plays in the red zone. They ran 9 plays in Penn State territory. 9. Right? That, you know, when you look at what they did in the game, they ran 68 plays. 59 were run in Indiana territory. 9 were run in Penn State territory. 9. And 6 of the 9, by the way, took place on the drive where Indiana took the ball over at midfield.
Well, I think the frustration he was referring to, though, was the fact that they'd have the ball, but nothing was happening. They had an opportunity with the ball, but nothing happened.
Okay. They had 15 possessions. 7 were 3 and outs.
Right.
7 3 and outs. They had 1 4 and out. A 5. I mean, look, they were 3 of 17, by the way, on third down in the game. You know what the numbers are against Penn State on third down in the last 2 games?
No.
4 of 31.
Wow, that's an impressive defense.
Do you know what Penn State's giving up on third down and better than 5 yards this year? 16%. Third and five plus for the year, 16% given up. So I can understand, quote, the frustration, but the bottom line is they were not going to move that football team. Okay? And in their last 13 possessions, they put the ball in the Penn State territory. In their last 13 possessions, once. One time.
The other thing I was going to ask you, too, in listening to that, they were talking about the crowd kind of disappearing at halftime. I wondered if you... I know you don't normally notice things like that.
No, I don't.
I didn't know, but I didn't know if you might have seen some. I just thought it was strange. I'm like, well, it's not like this wasn't a close game score-wise. I just thought, why would the fan base disappear at halftime? Because they made a comment, well, the fans that have stayed here have at least had some excitement. I'm like, what?
I don't know. It's a different football culture there. You know, the people that are there are obviously diehards. They love football and they love Indiana football. So the fans that go to the games in Indiana, Penn State didn't even do the noise drill last week. Right? Penn State did not do the noise drill last week.
Listen, it sounded like a high school game to me with the crowd noise in the background.
Right. No, I'm just saying, though, everyone knew going in it was not going to be a large crowd. So it was one of those, like, why bother? We're not going to have any trouble hearing our signals. And Indiana is the longest. Let's see, they had a 9-play drive. They got them 25 yards. That's their longest number of plays in the most number of plays in the game. It's not like they had anything developing all day. It just didn't. I mean, they just didn't have any. I mean, they could be out there now and they still wouldn't score. I could tell you right now, they would be out there right now. I'm not joking. They could be out there right now because they're so one-dimensional, and they never would have scored. Just the way it is. I mean, they averaged 3.2 yards a play. They only had 221 yards in total offense. That's 15 possessions. I can understand they're frustrated, but because I think they're frustrated, I think they're frustrated they couldn't get anything going, but I think they just got frustrated that they couldn't move the ball, period. It's Bob in Hanover joins us. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great. How are you, Bob?
Good. Hey, just one comment, not really expecting an answer to it or not, but watching some of the football shows over the weekend, like ESPN Game Day or even Big Ten Network, they comment about Ohio State did a great job against the Michigan State great defense, but it seems like they're not really giving Penn State giving credit for its great defense, and I think its defense is probably better than Michigan State's. What do you guys think?
The Michigan State-Ohio State game, to me, actually reinforced how outstanding the Penn State defense is, because Michigan State came in with a really good defensive reputation. Now, I'll point out in advance, Bob, and I said this going into the season, I said it going into the Ohio State game, the Michigan State-Ohio State game. The Michigan State defense is good, but they are not the same level they were last year. Last year's defense would put you on your heels, and they really, they were stifling. But the Michigan defense...
I think they sort of look at it that the Ohio State game was sort of a fluke, that Penn State was able to shut them down that much.
They can look at it as a fluke all they want, then they don't know football.
Right.
And the bottom line is this, is that Penn State, when you look at Ohio State, the way they ran over a good Michigan State defense, and they ran over them. I'm sorry, a team doesn't make that kind of improvement in 2 weeks.
Right, yeah, I agree.
And the Penn State defense, remember, the the number, they had, what, five scores in the game. Okay, the two touchdowns of regulation, field goal, and then the two touchdowns in overtime.
Right.
It totaled 114 yards.
Right.
That's it. Because the first touchdown was 39 yards after the faux interception. The second touchdown drive was 39 yards. The field goal, which never should have been kicked, was a 49-yard attempt. The overtime was 25 yards, but the second one was 12.5 yards because of the penalty.
Yeah,
that's it.
And it's also the Penn State defense is pretty much doing it without an offense really helping them too much this year. I mean, I understand the limitations because of depth and stuff on offense. But
sure.
Had we had a little more strength there, I think the defense would even be a little more overwhelming than what it has been.
I think that was actually one of the big pluses on Saturday, Bob, was that the special teams did a great job of allowing the defense to play with some field in back of them. Special teams actually came through with what I thought was their best performance of the year, which then gave Penn State that second component to reinforce the defense and allow them to pitch a shutout.
Right. All right. Well, I just wanted to add my comments there.
It's great. It's great. Great point, Bob. I think there. I would think in this conference there has to be some realization that starts to happen here that that Penn State's defense is not only the best one in the conference, it's one of the top five in the country. You know, if they had any kind of offense, obviously, if they had more offense, that would make a big difference, obviously.
And I'm not trying to belittle the offense because, you know, I know they're really busting their butts to try to get better and stuff.
I know you are.
It's been time, so.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, no question. I mean, the deficiencies are over there because that's where the personnel deficiencies are. The more experience is on the defense, and Bob has them play at a really high level. And they've stayed healthy, which has really helped.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Bob. And the other part, too, is Naeem Wortman had that interception in the game. He finally got the cast off the hand, and it's made a big, caught the ball. Big difference. We'll wrap it up in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Instead of carving turkey this month, Sunbury Motors Hyundai is carving up some juicy deals on all new Hyundais. Every new Hyundai price has been carved to the bone at Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. 2015 Sonata started only $19,871. There's 0% financing for up to 60 months on all 2014 Elantra sedans, coupes, and GTs. 2015 Elantra lease specials start at just $159 a month with only $19.99 due at signing. And of course, America's best warranty on every new vehicle. 10 years, 100,000 miles. You can only find these deals at the Susquehanna Valley's Value Headquarters. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. The right car at the right price since 1915. Be sure to check out their entire inventory at sunburymotors.com. This Thanksgiving season, be thankful you got your new Hyundai from SMC.
Actually, Indiana ran 8 plays in Penn State territory. 8 total. Hey, you're not going to win any games running 8 plays in somebody else's territory. You're just not. I'm telling you, they could have played until this morning, and they never would have scored. So you go to the next game. Next game's Temple. And Bob's right. Defense has played at an incredibly high level. I thought that the special teams, Daniel Pascarillo came through, did really well, punting the ball. Grant Haley was outstanding on coverage, as was Christian Campbell. Kick coverage has been really good. Now, Grant needs better judgment, obviously, in the kickoff return thing. I mean, it turns out that the Belton touchdown occurred after the kick return, but it was back to the 8-yard line. I know he's got speed, but you also have to exercise judgment because the touchback gets you to the 25, and sometimes when you're 5 yards deep on a directional kick, you have to be able to have the judgment. Cole Cipriani has to help him out on that play. And Colt Cipriani has to help him out on that play and say, yo, hey, not this time. Offensively, you know, obviously, you know, we all know it's been a struggle. I mean, in the domino of it and so forth. You just feel if they can string together some plays, you feel like they're at the point now where if they score 17 in a game, they've got enough at this stage. They if they break 20, you know they're going to win. You know, when they get, you know, when everything, you know, you give them a little bit of time with the offensive group, you give them some time recruiting, things like that, they'll settle that thing in and they'll start playing some pretty good offense that people are going to find very entertaining. This is just one of those, part of the struggle of everything they've had to go through right now. And we're going to do a poll later in the week. Should Kevin blow us off on dinner? It's, you know, I mean, we're just trying to put together a bonding experience. And
I got to get my Christmas shopping done, man.
It's, what, you're going to buy Bob and me gifts?
I didn't say I had to get the shopping for you done. I have to just get shopping done.
I mean, 2 years ago, you used my gift certificate to buy me a gift.
I know, and we didn't win one this year, so I'm kind of stuck. Now I'm going to have to pay for something. Oh, brother.
I mean,
you did get a pretty sweet gift, though, the next year. You got that World Series program.
I did.
Never seem to mention that, though, do you?
Because normally you just take, like, my gift certificates, and I'm surprised you used it to buy something for somebody else.
Actually, it came free with something else I ordered, so it kind of worked out in my favor.
Exactly. My point. So, Bob and I will bond, and maybe Sean Kerry or Drew Kelly will join us.
I'll join you
maybe
via Skype.
Lawrence. And it's going to be a phone-free, computer-free night.